So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Dan. Hope you're well today. Happy Friday, 12th of February. Hope you're well. Okay, so let's get straight into it. How on earth did I land a £100,000 job from the wrong number? Well, I'm going to start off with that. And then I'm also going to tell you how I went from 15 grand a year to £100,000. And this is all kind of part of the same story. So let's begin. Are you sitting comfortably? Okay, so I used to work, when I started off, I was working in Laser Quest in Leeds, believe it or not, under Harvey Nichols, as it's known now, but we used to be an underground thing down there. I used to work in Laser Quest. But the 100 grand a year job was where I ended up, and that was a company called Dell. They make computers, I'm sure you've heard of them. And at the time, I was working in, not a cocktail bar, I was working in a company that sold computers and Sun Microsystems stuff and Citrix and all of that good stuff. But I knew computers inside out, back to front. It's one of the reasons why my businesses work, because I know how stuff works, okay? I can, you know, build computers and strip them down in 10 minutes flat kind of thing, or at least I could. So when I got promoted within this company, before I got to the 100 grand a year job, I became a field salesperson. So I started off as internal sales. I was on £15,000 a year at that particular job. I started as internal sales and I was able to start earning about 35 grand a year. Now, by the way, I should go back a little bit more because this was when I was 29, like 26 to 29, I went from 15 grand a year to £100,000 a year. I'm now 48, by the way, so you can do the maths on that. 19 years. I mean, literally, it is 20 years next May, when I retired. Like 20 years since I've actually had a proper job. I'm pretty unemployable these days. 20 years since I bought my first Porsche 911. Absolutely loved that car. Dream car for me, that was. So what happened was I was working as internal sales, which is, you know, following up the external sales guys. And then I was doing really well and I got promoted to an external sales job that came up in Bristol, it was, in fact, and I lived in Swindon. So I had to pick up, I had to move down to Swindon. Just so happened I started seeing a girl down there as well. How coincidental is that? And the job came up and I was like, oh, let's just go for it. You know, you want to get one shot in life, let's do it, let's go for it. So I got this field sales job. And honestly, I was the worst field salesperson on the planet at that time. I was dreadful. Like, I was so shit. I mean, it was just off the scale. But as part of that, when I moved, I got the guy that was leaving, I got his old phone. So you can guess what happens. Like 3 months into that job, maybe 4 or 5 months, I forget now. Call it 5 months. 5 months into that job, his phone goes off. And I'm like, yeah, it's Dan, how can I help? And it's like, oh, is I can't remember the guy's name. Is Bob there? No, Bob's not here. I've got his phone. He used to work. Who's calling? Oh, I'm such and such calling from a headhunting company. Oh, what are you headhunting for? Like, you want to get one shot in life, you know? So you have to ask the questions. What are you headhunting for? Oh, it's a six-figure job with a tier 1 computer company along the M4 corridor. And by the way, if you don't know this, but the M4 corridor is the M4 from Bracknell to Swindon into London. And there's everybody, you know. EMC was there, Microsoft were there. I mean, the M4 corridor was, you know, if you were in IT, that's, or sales, that's where you wanted to be. So I was like, well, I'm available. Why don't you interview me? And she said, okay, then send me a CV, which I did. I blagged my way a little bit and I got an interview. And I got an interview with a guy whose name, Paul, one of my bosses, Paul, I think he was called, an Irish guy. 18 kids kind of thing. And one of the very first questions, by the way, we got interviewed at like Heathrow Airport. One of the very first questions he asked me, and it was a little diminutive Irish guy. Now, bear this in mind, right, because I'm painting this picture, and I know that not all diminutive Irish guys are like this, but paint this picture. Very first question, or almost the very first question he asks is, have you got a big family? Do you see your family much? A bing light bulb went off. And I know to tell the guy what he wants to hear, right? Because that's what you do in interviews. Nobody tells the truth in interviews. Everybody talks bullshit. Everybody fabricates stuff and whatever. So I'm like, and by the way, you know, I love my family and we've got a decent sized family, but I spoke to my mum every day. Do you know what I mean? I'm 29. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I've got a nephew, love, we've been on holiday to Spain with, speak to my mum and dad at least every week, sometimes every day. Love my family. Family's really important. There's nothing more important than family, is there? And he just took a shine to me immediately because he's like, oh, good family, you know, values, which is true. Which, you know, I wasn't blagging it. It was true. But I knew what to kind of answer with. So we did an interview. We had a second interview. And I ended up getting a job off a wrong number, which is pretty amazing. So now you know how that happened. Let me tell you how we went from £15,000 a year to 100 grand a year. Now, my first job was, as I say, working in LaserQuest. And I've done almost everything, by the way. I've packed computers. I've built computers. I've been a network manager. I've done a lot of computer stuff. I've sold Sun. I've sold Citrix. I've sold Dell. I've sold Microsoft. I've sold storage area networks. I've sold stuff into British Nuclear Fuels. I was the corporate account manager for Next. I was a corporate account manager for Asda, British Nuclear Fuels, Rolls-Royce. I mean, you name it, all the big companies. I was the account manager for Dell, dealing with some of those companies. And by the way, you would think that some of that is a well-oiled machine, wouldn't you, working at Dell, dealing with Rolls-Royce. My very first meeting with Rolls-Royce was up in Scotland. For some reason, Scotland, up north anyway. No, it's Scotland, because I got a speeding ticket. Is it the M74? I've got a speeding ticket in my BMW convertible. Oh, yes. Slick back hair. You can imagine. So I went up and there's literally 15 guys behind, you know, two or three desks. And they are out for blood because the previous guy at Dell was shit. And I go in and they're like, they're just giving it me, you know, both barrels about how shit Dell was. And I'm like, well, look, guys, I'm not the previous guy, and I don't know what you had going on there, but give me the opportunity, and let's see if we can turn it around. And we did. We turned it around. Rolls-Royce became one of our top clients. We sold a lot of stuff. But I've done all sorts of different jobs. So I went from, like, working in a LaserQuest site in Leeds, which was one of the happy times in my life, by the way. Shooting people for a living is just amazing. with laser beams, not in reality. And if you can do a job like that, that you know, you have loads of fun, a good nightlife, you're young, you know, 20, 22, whatever I was back then, a wonderful opportunity. And then I got into all these different jobs, never really found my feet. And then eventually I got this job as an internal salesperson. And I think my salary back then, I think I started on like £12,000. And then I was there maybe 2 years, something like that. And I worked my way up. And then I got commission on top. So we went from 15 grand base. We started earning some extra commission. And I remember one time I was short on my target, and it was a massive target that I had to hit. And on the very last day, I went and closed like 13 different sales to pull in. Like, I closed like £50,000 on the last day. And the reward was to go to some boot camp thing with everybody else. I thought I wanted that, and I really pushed, and I got the money in for the business. And then later on, one of the external field sales guys complained because he had brought in more money than me, but because he had a bigger target. But he was field sales selling hundreds of thousands of pounds, and I was selling freaking pens and floppy disks and hard drives and little bits of shit, basically. So it's one of those little defining moments. And I'm sure you, like me, has a defining moment in your life where you go, do you know what? I was going to swear, screw this for a game of soldiers. I'm not doing this. So I knew to put my head down, and I made that decision right there, right then. And I'm sure you've made a decision like that at some point in your past as well, where you go, enough is enough. I'm going to do this for me. I am going to become my own boss. And my employer is not an employer. My employer is a customer. And I'm only going to have one customer, and that's the current employer. And then I'm going to look for another customer. I'm going to sack off the first customer, which was my previous employer. And that's what I did. So I went from internal sales all the way through to field sales, 35 grand a year. I was applying for jobs. I mean, I applied for jobs everywhere. And this is how it worked. Before I got that 15 grand a year job, you know, my very first job was like £6,000 a year, age 18, like ridiculous amount of money when you look back, of course, you know, it was 30 years ago. But I always knew that I could go and do an interview, and then I could either do really well in that interview, get a second interview and get a job, okay? Or I would do really bad. And I always treated each interview, and this is relevant for these times today, right? And I'm going to explain why. But I always knew that I could just go and interview, and if I didn't get the job, the only thing that it hurt was my ego. And I knew that. And I knew that, you know, my ego needs strengthening anyway. So let's just go for as many jobs as we could. I had more job interviews than I had hot meals at the time. I mean, I was out there interviewing. I had an interview in a broom cupboard once. It wasn't dodgy. I had an interview in a broom cupboard because there was nowhere quiet for us to do the interview. I've interviewed everywhere. So what would happen is I would go out and I'd get a job. As soon as I get that job, I would start applying for the next job up. And when I got that job, I'd apply for the next job up. And when I got that job, I'd apply for the next job up. And then eventually I landed in this 15 grand a year job. And I knew that that job, if I put my head down for a few years, I could get to field sales. And then from field sales without experience, I could move on to the next job. And when I got that 100 grand a year job at Dell, I mean, I was 28 going into field sales with people my age today. This is 20 years ago, folks. I was the youngest by 20 years, and I closed a lot of business. I mean, we were closing multi-million pound server and storage deals. But again, you know, it doesn't matter how high up you get, you always have a wanker boss. And this particular Paul, he was okay, the little Irish guy. He was actually really nice, got on really well. But his subordinate below him, who I actually reported into, was just an arse. This is the same guy, by the way, that I checked on a couple of weeks ago to see what he was doing. He was just another knobhead sales manager. How many people use the word knobhead in podcasts? He was just another knobhead sales manager at yet another computer company. 20 years on, the guy's not really moved forward. And here we are living in Spain and doing, you know, whatever we do. So literally, that's it. And the reason why this is relevant in today's world, we're in 2021, it's February, the world is a mess. People have lost jobs. People have gone on to furlough. And I say to you right now, you've got one chance. You've got this opportunity right now. When this thing lifts, and it will lift, you owe it to yourself. You go out and do 10 interviews. And every time you fail at an interview, you're not really failing. You're just falling forwards. You're failing forwards. You're getting the experience. I used this on dating, by the way. When I split with my ex, and it was a horrific, horrific situation. Kids abducted. I mean, horrific stuff, right? I'm 37, two kids. I'm like, who on earth's going to like me? I went on two dates a day for 2 weeks, solid. I was fully booked with dates. Thank you, Match.com. And because I knew that when I met the one, I knew what to say, I knew what to wear, I'd know what jokes to say, I'd know what jokes not to say, you know, Mr. Inappropriate here. And it worked. Here I am living my life of my dreams with my wife, one of the people that I met on the Match app. And so everything that you do right now is a practice for where you're going to get to. But first of all, you've got to decide what you're going to get to. If you don't know what it is that you actually want, you know, is it Wizard of Oz? If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. So first of all, you've got to start planning exactly what it was that you wanted. I wanted that 100 grand job. And without that 100 grand job, I wouldn't be sat here doing this, what I do, whatever it is. I don't know myself sometimes, but I wouldn't be doing it. I'd be in another job somewhere else. I'd be furloughed. I'd be stuck in Leeds in the snow, whatever, right? That earning from 15 to 100,000 pounds, when people tell you that money's not important, I can tell you right now money is important because money begets money. And more money begets more money, and more money begets more money, and it gives you options and choices. So, for example, right now, if I wanted to go out and get a job, I'm pretty unemployable. But if I wanted to go get a job, I could go get a decent job. 100 grand, probably not a problem, I would imagine. I'm quite opinionated, quite unemployable, I think, but the experience is phenomenal, right? I've done all sorts of things. We've got loads of management experience. We've run large teams, we've run small teams, we've run businesses, and we are buying businesses now. Which is an episode when we complete on our next one, which may be sometime soon. But if I wanted to go out and get that job, I could go do that. And that's choice. Or I could go and live in, not that the wife would allow me to, but I could go live in America for a year. That's what money gives you. It gives you a choice. That's what wealth gives you. And if you're thinking, well, you know, 15 grand a year to 100 grand a year, I don't want the pressure. And it was a lot of pressure, but it was pressure because I was 29. When my peers were 48. I didn't know what I was doing. I was blagging it from day one all the way through, okay? And I was doing well from it. And I know that not everybody has the ability to blag stuff, and I get that as well. But I had to imagine I was 48, and I had to imagine I was mature, and I had to imagine I knew what the answers were, even though I didn't know. And my stock answer would be, yeah, let me get back to you on that, and let me double check that does that exactly how you want. Because what I like to do is bring my technical guy in just to make sure I'm not over-promising stuff that's not going to work. People love that stuff, right? I've just admitted I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I made it sound good. That's the stuff that you've got to do. And once this lifts, and this will lift, you also have to go out and start getting a job. And when you've got a job, and if you might already have a job, you might hate it, you might hate your boss. When you get that job, apply for other jobs. And when you get other jobs, apply for other jobs. My mum, bless her, she's still alive. Both parents are alive, thank goodness. But my mum used to say, doesn't all these jobs go on your record? I'm like, what record? It's not an LP. It's not an album. What record? It's not a police record. What record is this? It's just a piece of paper. There's no record anywhere. Of course, there might be now. It's called LinkedIn, but you can update LinkedIn if you want. And you can extend some of those dates. You know, like when you take 6 months off and you're unemployed and you say, oh, I was having a personal year. I was backpacking around Europe. I backpacked around Europe for a month. It's awesome. You should do it. But it doesn't matter. Nobody gives a shit. When I'm recruiting and we recruit for people, when I'm recruiting, I don't care what you've done. I had a job interview once. I was like 28. And he says, tell me what you were like at school. I'm like, dude, I ain't telling you what I'm like at school. The person I was at school is definitely not the person I was at 28. Well, not 28. What was that? I was 25, I think. I was a completely different. It's 9 years different. I hated school. I was an arse at school. I mean, I'm still an arse now. But I was completely different in school. I refused to answer the question. I said, dude, I'm not answering that question. I'm not answering it. The person I am today is not a reflection on the person I am 10 years ago. Well, you can leave then. Adios, motherfucker. You know, I don't care. I got another 20 interviews lined up. And the other thing I would do when I would go for an interview, you know, when you get there and your interview's at 2 and it's 10 past 2 and you go, he said to the receptionist, he knows I'm here, right? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, it'll be another 10 minutes. I'm standing up and I'm walking out. I'm not waiting for other people. This is about having respect for yourself. And if the other guy that's recruiting you doesn't have respect for you, when, remember, it's a two-way street. I'm there to impress them and they're there to impress me. If they are late and not on time, I don't have time for that. I'm a busy guy. I've got other interviews that I have to attend. So I'm not staying, right? But there's a shift here. There's a power shift. And I'm like this with tenants as well. If I don't like tenants and they try and put a power play on me, I can jog on. It's not happening. I like to be in control. Otherwise, I don't want to work there, but not my tenants and so on. And it's the same with my staff members. If they're trying to put a power play on me in some way, it's not happening. They're out the door because I want full control over what goes on in my life. And that includes when I go for a job interview. I want full control. I go for the job that I want to go for. And if the company doesn't impress me, the guy or the girl or whoever's interviewing me doesn't impress me, I'm not interested. Let me tell you a story of another one. I got loads of stories. So I went for an interview. I was feeling a little bit lost. So I left Dale and I felt a little bit lost because I had always these four walls surrounding me, you know, these four walls of a job, which was like a safety net. But it wasn't a safety net, really. It was an entrapment, effectively. It was like a prison, wanting to get back into a job. And after a few years, I was buying and selling property and that kind of thing. And I thought, yeah, I'm just going to go get a job because I just wanted to get back into those four walls. I was indoctrinated. I was institutionalized as an employee, believe it or not. And one of the jobs I applied for, again, was back at First Direct, which is where I used to work and hated it. It was like 13 grand a year. And I tried to get from 100 grand a year down to a 13. It's crazy. I just needed those four walls, some kind of safety net. And now, of course, I look at it and it's entrapment. It's a prison. Okay. But I went for this job interview and I went in and the guy went in and he took his jacket off. So I took my jacket off and he stopped and he looked at me and he's like, what are you doing? So I'm taking my jacket off. I'm getting comfortable for this interview. He said, well, why are you doing that? I said, well, you've taken your jacket off. I didn't want to make you feel uncomfortable by me having my jacket on. And he laughed. Thank God. Anyway, the interview went on. We talked about NLP and that kind of thing. And he said, there and then, we'd like to offer you a job. And I said, yeah, that's awesome. I'd like to think about that. Do you know what I mean? It's like you've got to get in control of your life. Life does not happen to you. You happen to life. Is it Plymouth Rock didn't land on us? We landed on Plymouth Rock. My history is shockingly bad. But that's exactly how you should be living life. I affect the world around me. I affect the people around me. Sure, does sometimes things happen that I'm not actually in control of? Of course. And then I try and put things in place. So A, that doesn't happen again. And B, I'm now in control over it. It's about putting these barriers in place for yourself. But before you can do that, there's one thing that you've got to have for yourself first, and that is respect. You've got to have respect for yourself. You've got to Tie people up to what you want and what your expectations are. We would call that values. I share my values with my team so that they know what I expect of them. And they know if I'm upset about something that they've done, they know exactly why it is. And usually it's because they've broken some of those values that I hold dear. And if they don't hold them dear, that's perfectly fine. They can jog on and go work for somebody else. I want to be in control. Well, you're a control freak, Dan. You're right. 100%. I totally am. A friend of mine said, you know what your problem is? And you know you're always going to have a good conversation, don't you? When someone says, you know what your problem is? And you're like, here we go. How long have I got? You know, I've got lots. You know what your problem is? Your problem is you plan everything. Said a mate of mine, who's probably 25 years after he said that, still working in a warehouse. And you're right, I do. I plan everything. Everything should be planned, hopefully down to the nth degree. And when things don't work the way I want them to, it's usually because I didn't plan down to the nth degree. And some people will go, no, I want freedom. I don't want to be planning. The way that you get freedom is to plan. I want spontaneity. Well, what do you do? You know, you've got 2 hours available Wednesday, 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock. What spontaneous thing are you going to do? Watch bloody Star Trek or Netflix or Marvel film or whatever. Like one spontaneous thing. Instead, why not allocate 2 hours to be spontaneous and book something in like whitewater rafting? Now you can go be spontaneous while you're doing something. Now is the time for you to take control. It's 2021. This is a Mindset and Hustle show, and we're going to end it there. Hope that's useful for you. Let me know if you've got anything, put it in the box down below, and I'll comment back. Other than that, have yourselves a wicked weekend. Have a good think about what you want the next 12 months to look like, and we'll catch up with you on Monday in the Business Growth Show. My name is Dan Latto. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.